on each and every one of our lives that we might be overlooking at times. Father, as we sit here ready to hear from you, Father, let us not sit here as onlookers, but as participants. Father, let us worship you this day because you're truly worship of all of our praise and adoration. Father, we love you. Thank you for the ability we have to serve you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Dear Lord, today we come to you with thankful hearts. We thank you for this beautiful day, for the rain in the past days, and for the hint of fall we're beginning to see and feel. Thank you for our church staff and how they lead us. Thank you for the opportunities we have coming in the next few weeks to be your hands and feet here at home, in Grifton, and around the world. Thank you for our many gifts. And now as we give a portion back to you, help these gifts to be used to bless others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. So do we pray so that God will change his will, or do we pray so that God's will change us? Did you choose A or B? Choose wisely. You know, you hear the first half of that preached all the time, right? You need to pray for what you need. You need to pray for this. You need to pray for more of this, more of this, more of this. And so many times it makes my spine crawl a little bit. Because what if that's not at all what God wants for us? And we spend all of our time and energy praying for something that is not good for us. And I fear that sometimes God may give it to us just to teach us that that's not what we need. You know, I have a really good sermon here. I told 9 o'clock crew, it's a good sermon. I'm not going to preach it. But it's a really good sermon. I'll come back to it sometime. But as I was looking through the text for today and thinking about where I was personally, where I feel like our church is, I want to read the text because it not only is it our lectionary reading from last week, we're playing catch up here, but it is a really good setup, if you will, mind-changing, heart-changing passage as we begin the month of October, which holds some really exciting things for us. So let me read the text for you. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, and I'll actually read down through verse 8. It says 1 through 7, but we'll read through 8. I urge then, first of all, who's writing now, first of all? Paul. Okay, he's writing Timothy, his son in the ministry, that he is mentoring and has been mentoring. And so he said, I urge then, first of all, that request, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Whoa, wait, what? Everyone? Surely he doesn't really mean that. Well, obviously he does because he goes on for kings. In other words, government officials, and all those in authority. We're supposed to pray for them, Paul? Yes. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in his proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. And then in verse 8, I want men, and the new, this is the 84 NIV, but the new NIV, the modern, the revising of the NIV says people, and I think that's the accurate reading here. So anytime you see men in there, we're talking about humanity, okay, as opposed to just a gender thing. I want people everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. So what do we take away from this? It's obvious that Paul wanted Timothy to understand the primacy of prayer. There's a statistic that runs around, and it operates primarily in youth ministry circles, that says every revival, every spiritual awakening in modern history has begun with prayer. And interestingly enough, teenagers praying. That is the demographic that they specifically identify with spiritual awakening. Now, I would argue that they had to learn it somewhere. Parents, right? And hopefully we are modeling that example for our teenagers and for our children on what it means to pray and to pray faithfully. To pray for everyone, even government, it says. Pray for our government officials. And then it says pray for all people. Why do we pray for all people? Because God says he wants everyone to be saved. Now, I've read commentaries that said, well, this basically refutes Paul's other writings on election and predestination. No. This describes, this explains what election is about. And election is about God wants everyone to be saved. Does that make sense? Do you agree with that? Do your head this way. Sure, God wants everyone. We can't serve a God who picks and chooses by his determination. But he understands, he knows. See, the distinction is he knows who will choose and who will not. But the kicker is we don't. We don't. So therefore, our responsibility is what? Pray for them all. Pray for everyone. Pray that all come to know Jesus. Pray for all. Because we don't know who's going to choose. And we don't know what little extra bit of encouragement that might be all that it takes. One act of ministry. One act of service. Thank you for your great words, Rick. You know, one act of service may be the tipping point in whether that person comes to know Christ or not. Pray for all, because God wants all to be saved, and we should want all to be saved, right? We should want all to be saved. Prayer, praying for people, doesn't necessarily change God's mind, but it certainly can change our heart. As Jeff said, and we use this illustration, it is next to impossible. I would say impossible. I'd like to be proven wrong on this. It's impossible to be angry for someone with someone at the same time you're praying for them. I would say if you're capable of doing that, you're not praying with the Holy Spirit as your guide. Because we can't be angry. Now, we may disprove of their behavior. That's fine. We may disprove of their behavior, but that's not the same as being angry with them. Pray for people. When people disappoint you, when they make you angry, when they cut you off in traffic, you know, pray for those people. Pray for those people. Heap upon them prayers of blessing, not curses. Paul wants the church to understand that. He wants Timothy, as the spiritual leader of that congregation, he wants him to understand that. The primacy of prayer. Now, is he talking about praying all the time? Well, that's actually what it says. If you go back and do a little word study, he's talking about praying all the time. Does that mean he's like the good old boys that come to convention and stand up in the middle of the restaurant and scream out a blessing, right? No, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about an attitude of prayer where you are constantly praying for people. You don't give up on them. You know, I have people, and I'm sure you do too, that say, well, would you pray for me? And if I say yes, which I do, then I pray for them right then. In my heart, my mind, right then, I pray for them right then so that I don't forget. And then usually I'll ask them, if you don't mind, could you shoot me an email or a text or something of reminding me of your request so that I can put that on my list when I'm there and can do that. So that we don't forget to pray for people who need it and who ask for it. And that leads me into these materials that you got. Ushers, are you back there? All right. Did anybody not get a bookmark? Mine's drooping here. A bookmark and a booklet as you came in? I'm sorry, choir. Did you all get one? You feel neglected. Y'all were the spiritual giants that were here Wednesday night, though, right? Yes, okay. All right. Okay, did anybody else get these? All right. If you will take these out, in the month of October, I take it out to where you can follow along with me here. In the month of October, we're going to be talking about who's your one. You saw the posters as you came in, the banners as you came in, all of this. So who is your one? And the question that you know, is probably the most obvious one is, what's a one? Right? What is a one? I don't know who my one is until I know what a one is. Well, let me tell you who one of my ones is. And I won't identify by name. But I had the joy of baptizing one of my ones back in June. Okay? This was a person I'd been praying for 25 years. 25 years. But I knew at some point, and I felt in my heart at some point, God is going to do something special in this person's life. And when that time comes that God begins to work and he begins to receive, I want to be there to help nurture that. And so it stayed, his name stayed on the top of my prayer list. I have two other ones that I'm working with right now. And a one is someone who is not yet a believer. See, I don't believe in non-believers. I believe there's a lot of not yet believers. And for me, that is how I approach it. And I've got people that I'm praying for, but I've got two ones in particular right now that are they're tough cookies, I can tell you right now. It's going to take a while, I'm afraid. But these two individuals I'm praying for every day, and I'm praying that I would be so sensitive to what their journey is like that I can plug in and bless them or encourage them or interject something that causes them to think about the nature of life, the meaning of life, and the nature of their Creator. And so I am praying earnestly and watching and encouraging and doing everything I can, having lunch with them, all these type of things to nurture that relationship. Because I want to have the joy of leading them to Christ as well. I want that. So they are two of my ones right now. And if you'll look at this, there's a little card on the top of the bookmark that detaches right here. And what I've done, and I invite you to do, is where it says, who's your one on the back? It has a line for name. Write their name in there. When you select that person that you want to pray for earnestly, work with, and nurture your relationship with the purpose, hopefully, of someday sharing Christ with them, write their name in there. Put that, tear that off, put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. Whether it's in your wallet, men, or in your purse, ladies, or on the dashboard of your car, on your mirror, as you groom your hair or whatever you do in the mornings, you know, you'll see their name, and it will remind you to pray for them. And then you see the rest of the bookmark. Take a look at that. You've got these verses down through here. 30 days of prayer. That's what I invite you to over the next 30 days. 30 days of earnest prayer for your one. And you'll look each day, like day one has John 14:6. If you'll take your booklet, it corresponds with this. Open your little book to day one, and it'll have the verse written out. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's John 14:6. And then it has a guided prayer right there. It says, God, I know there's only one way to salvation. Jesus is very clear on that. He's the only hope for a lost and dying world, and that includes your one right there. You write in their name for that day. Then you finish out the prayer. Every time there's a line there, you write in the name of your one. And then if you look on the next page over, it says, journal your prayers. What happens there? In your journaling, my hope is that you will begin to see what God is doing to change your mind and to change your attitude, perhaps about that person, but perhaps also about your own life. And you'll write those, you'll take those notes. Here's what God's doing. God, you've got a sense of humor because today I discovered blah, 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 blah. You know, God, you know, despite what I wanted to do, here's what I found out you wanted me to do. And here's what I did. And it changed my heart today. Whatever your thoughts are on that day, you journal. Now, what's going to happen most likely if you're not used to journaling? You know, day one, you may have a sentence or two. Day two, you may have two or three sentences. By the time you get to day 30, you're like, they didn't make enough space here on the paper. Because God will begin teaching you so much about yourself and your relationship with your one. But here's the kicker. I predict, because I've seen it happen in my own life, I predict that as you are so focused, as you are concentrated in your prayer for your one, God will start to change your attitude about every one. See, as you are focused in being God's hands and feet and God's heart to your one, it will change the way you interact with people. Not just your one, but everyone. journal about that too. Journal about that. Because that's part of your journey that will be just incredibly enlightening. So when it starts to happen, chuckle to yourself and go, yeah, Raymond said this is probably coming. And embrace that. Embrace that, because you never know. In seeking to minister to your one, you never know how many others within that same circle of influence, without you consciously doing so, you may bless. And they may come to you and say, what is it about you? How can you be that positive? How can you be that generous? What is it that makes you tick? And you'll have a chance to tell. Let me give you one other suggestion on this guide and this guide. When it gives you the verses, notice it's bite-sized pieces. One verse, two verse, three verses, one verse, three verses, two verses. Why not try to memorize those? They'll be great teaching tools. They'll be great witnessing tools for those that say, well, I don't really feel prepared to share the gospel with someone. You can always tell your story, but if you memorize a few verses that reinforce your story, even more powerful. So take this opportunity for these next 30 days. Now, next Sunday morning, we'll gather in here and we'll begin the campaign, quote unquote, officially, and it'll run next three Sundays. But hopefully you'll start today, identify your one, write their name in there, and then begin your daily prayer. Pray for the person. Identify perhaps some needs that you feel like maybe you can help that person with, and quietly, trusting God's Spirit for leadership, begin engaging with that person on a more spiritual level. I know that what will happen is the kingdom. Now, this is not about church growth in the sense that a lot of companies promote it. This is about the kingdom. This is a long-term investment in people. The kingdom will be enriched as we love people and as we love God. I can tell you already that nothing warms a pastor's heart more than walking in at 10 minutes till 7 on a Sunday morning and seeing the message light flash on his phone. Don't laugh. In this particular case, they were truly blessings. Because those of you that are here Wednesday night, and we went through some of this, you know, when I pick up the phone and the message is, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. Oh, yeah, I do. You're not going to believe this, but since Wednesday night, man, I've already had some breakthroughs. That person I'm praying for, in just that short amount of time, that person I'm praying for, man, I'm getting some breakthroughs. I've known this person X number of years, but now I'm making progress. And I laugh and I go, well, so is the Holy Spirit. So is the Holy Spirit. So is the kingdom. As we are faithful, God's going to bless. God's going to bless. I'm excited to see what happens. I invite you, please, when you have those moments, those aha moments, call. If I'm not in the office, leave a message, because I really do like to listen to those messages, okay? Let's pray and ask for God's help. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us enough to put up with our stubbornness, our foolishness, Father, our busyness, and still point us to who you are and what you desire for us. God, we pray that in the next 30 days, it will set the tone for the rest of our lives. That as we get accustomed to praying for people, looking for opportunities to love and to encourage and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that it would truly change the very fabric of our life. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, because without him, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. And we pray that in our walk beginning today, that we would trust you more, that we would look to your guidance more fervently. And in doing so, we know the kingdom will be enriched. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Respond to not only the call of Christ upon your life, but to action that he calls us to. As you see there in the bulletin, we're going to sing in just a moment, "Let Your Heart Be Broken." And I want to invite you, as we are singing that song, if you are wanting, if you're trying to find out more about Jesus, to have a personal relationship with him, I invite you, come talk with me, call me this week. Make contact, because that's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, because it determines eternity. And so I invite you to take that call upon your life, that tugging that you feel at your heart, take that seriously. Be glad to talk with you this morning if that's your desire. If you're here and you say, "Well, Raymond, I am a believer, but some of this stuff you've been talking about this morning makes me a little bit uncomfortable." I understand that a lot of us don't really like or don't feel comfortable putting ourselves out there in a sense of knocking on people's doors down the street and trying to share the gospel in that way. But you know, for every one of us, we should have a comfort level with loving people and loving them enough to care for them and to look for an opportunity to talk to them about God's love and God's care for them. And that's really what we're talking about. So relax, see what God's going to do with you. If you'd like to recommit your life to following Jesus a little bit more closely, you know, letting your prayers shape your heart as opposed to trying to shape God's will. Certainly make that decision where you're standing, or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you if you desire that. If you're here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park, there's a lot of ways that we accept members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Next Sunday is going to be something. I can just tell you that now. As you come in the doors, the hallway is going to be cluttered in a really good way. We're going to have some history items to remind us of our 70 years as a church. We're going to have a birthday party in the garden lobby there. If it's nice weather, maybe kind of spill out into the fish pond area there, that little courtyard there. Boxes up and down both sides of the hallway as we begin engaging in ministry. And as I thought about how everything has come together, 70th anniversary of this church, and on the day we celebrate that, we are collecting stuff like crazy for missions. And that is really how this church began. It's very much a part of our DNA. And how more appropriate could it be that on next Sunday, that is the kickoff to our collection for these missions efforts. So bless you. Have a great week. If you didn't pick up the information on what these mission efforts are, there's information out on the Welcome Center. And as we remind you, as we get closer to Christmas, we will be having still our offerings for global missions and international missions. This is in addition to that. This is putting hands and feet to work here at home and down in Grifton, and then extending out into the world. So exciting times for College Park. I'm glad you're here. I hope that if you see a guest around you following the benediction and a response, you'll greet them, greet one another, give each other a hug, and encourage each other. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Father, what a glorious day it is to come and be together. What a blessing it is to love one another and to love you. God, we pray that would be lived out in our life every moment, pointing others to you and to your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.